Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we are excited to bring this service to you today. Before we get started, for those who don't stay through the whole service, we just want to thank all of you for all of your wonderful donations. We truly appreciate you being out there supporting this effort that we're putting on in this way during these very extreme times. So again, thank you for all of your wonderful donations. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement first. Together, the mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm the foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 4th. The key word is fearless, and the affirmation is, I am fearless as I live authentically. In the past, I may have hidden my inner light, afraid to be myself. I may have tried to please others by conforming to someone else's idea of who I should be. I may have shrunk from an aspiration, fearing that I would fail in pursuit of my goal. I may have doubted the divine perfection at the core of my spiritual self, identifying with my perceived flaws and feeling small and inadequate. Well, today I make a choice. I choose to live fearlessly, drawing upon my faith to believe in myself, my imagination to envision my best life, and my understanding to know my divinity. Bold and brave, I am fearless as I live my life authentically, pursue my dreams, and express my divine nature. The scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Amen. And now we will have the message for today with Reverend Butch.
Well, good morning. Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light. We're continuing with this theme called Practicing the Principles in Uncertain Times. And it's interesting, these times seem to continue on for us. We saw in the news that they're saying that a vaccine for this probably won't be ready till sometime in the spring. So, you know, this will be kind of the new normal for us for a while to come. So the subtitle, with that kind of thought in mind, the subtitle for this talk today is called How to Be at Ease with Life Itself. Okay, so let me say it again, How to Be at Ease with Life Itself. So on this journey to awaken to our God mind self, as opposed to our ego mind self, there are three specific tools we're striving to become skillful using to help us along the way. And let me just bring up a slide to show that. So these three tools are consciousness, prayer, and faith. Now listen carefully, with consciousness being the container in which we combine prayer and faith to create a cosmic mixture we can drink from to maintain the strength and courage needed to remain firm on our quest to awaken spiritually. Now, I know that was sort of a run-on sentence. That's why I wanted to put it up for you. But, you know, basically, we're going to talk about that quite a bit during this talk. And the key to this is really about spiritual awakening, all right? And awakening spiritually is the path that we are walking, even if we are not aware of the fact that it's the path that we're walking. So everything that's happening in life and everything that's happening in our lives collectively and individually is all about the spiritual path. The key is whether or not we can awaken to understand that that is what this journey is really all about, the idea of spiritual awakening. However, our natural tendency is to gain knowledge of spiritual techniques, and I think I mentioned this last week, without experiencing what I'm calling the transformation of experiential implementation, okay? The transformation of experiential implementation. Now, these lessons are geared toward the experiential implementation of consciousness, prayer, and faith, all right? Not just learning it, but how do I experientially implement these ideas in my life, all right? So as it explained in the book, The Prayer Chest by August Gold, one of the secret ingredients to prayer that is required to maintain this mixture between prayer and faith is that you must be open to the fact that the answer to your prayers must come through you, not to you. Now, yes, I know we already know that. But the key is, do we really know that? Okay? So it's the difference between saying, oh, I know that, and really knowing it. All right, that's what we're trying to get to. And the second secret ingredient to prayer explains how the experientially implement the first secret ingredient. So this is going to kind of bring that first one to life. It is that the most effective way to receive the answer to your prayer is to learn how to become still and listen for God's reply, okay? So the first one is saying that it must come answer to our prayer must come through us. But the second one is saying you need to understand how to become still and listen for that answer. Now, it's not, you know, when you're busy thinking and talking. That's not when it comes, all right? It comes when you practice the stillness. So being still and listening is how you experientially implement those two prayer ingredients. Now, the third ingredient to prayer can be considered the most difficult to embrace and will most likely answer your prayer in a way that you did not envision. Okay, so this is going to be the most difficult to embrace, this third secret ingredient, so to speak, but it's going to be difficult for us because it doesn't answer the prayer in the way we envisioned. So the third secret ingredient to prayer requires each of us, now listen carefully, to welcome whatever you experience. I'm going to repeat that. To welcome whatever you experience, because everything that comes into your life is part and parcel of the answer to your prayer. And thus the subtitle to today's lesson, How to Be at Ease with Life Itself. Okay, so this idea is a reflection from what I shared last week's lesson. You know, Kreon explained that if the answer to your prayer doesn't come in the time or in the way you expected it to come, or the way you needed it to come, from a cosmic perspective, it is because there is either more you need to learn from the situation you're experiencing, or something greater is coming to you, and the circumstances confronting you are a gateway to your greater good, okay? So you're saying, you know, you might be saying, oh God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do it in this particular time period. It doesn't happen then because the situation you're going through, there's more in that that you need to croon out of it, that you need to learn from it. And also the fact that because it didn't happen in the time you wanted it to happen, means that there's a possibility that another door is going to open, but it's not opening in the time frame in which you wanted it to, because again, there's more we need to learn in whatever it is we're going through. So it's the idea that when, you know, one door closes, another door opens. It's sort of that thing, that idea. We all know that, right? As one door closes, another door opens. Now, this is what Alexander Graham Bell said. He explained that idea. He says, when one door closes, another one does open. However, we often spend so much time looking at and regretting the door that closed that we do not see the one which has opened for us, all right? So that's a powerful thought. So I repeat, you must be able to welcome without judgment whatever comes into your life, because everything is part and parcel of the answer to your prayer. And like I said, I know that's a challenging one for us all, you know, to deal with. And even though this is a cosmic truth, you know, accepted by advanced spiritual masters, again, it's probably the most difficult of the prayer ingredients for many of us to even comprehend, all right? You know, which is why we need to put in that time daily, do that daily work necessary to master the three tools we need to help us along the way. Again, they are consciousness, prayer, and faith. With consciousness being the container in which we combine prayer and faith to create a cosmic mixture we can drink from to maintain the strength and courage needed to remain firm on our quest to spiritual awakening. All right? So the reason we have difficulty with these spiritual ideas, you know, be at ease with the everything that comes to your life, be at ease with life itself, you know, is because it is difficult for us to grasp the concept that experiences are neither good or bad. Now, we've heard that before again, okay? Experiences are neither good or bad. They just are, all right? Now, a quote that was sent to me by Kathleen Bailey from Eckhart Tolle, I don't think I have a slide for that, but it says, to offer no resistance to life. Let me just check to see. Hold on, let me just check to see if I have a slide for that. No, I do not. Okay, I'm sorry. So to offer no resistance to life is to be in a state of grace. Let me say that again. This is from Eckhart Tolle. To offer no resistance to life is to be in a state of grace. A person in this state of grace is no longer dependent upon things being in a certain way, good or bad. Okay? But this idea about, you know, being in a state of grace, and we talked a lot about that last week, and I admit, it takes a tremendous amount of spiritual understanding to comprehend this. And even though this is a way to spiritual mastery, it's a big elephant to swallow, right? Or this idea of just, you know, being with life as it is, you know, and staying in this state of grace no matter what is happening, that's a big elephant to swallow. Now, let me just bring this up. This is another explanation. According to Sri Amma and Sri Bhagavan, the founders of the Oneness University in India, they say suffering is our incapacity to experience things as they are. Our inability to experience reality as it is gives rise to inner conflict, erroneous perceptions, a myriad of false beliefs, the breaking down of our relationships, a rise in what we perceive as mundane problems, and our inability to deal with them, and above all, an experience of being ill at ease with life itself. Okay? Now, let me just say again, these are very challenging ideas to deal with. Right? Our work as spiritual, as truth students, is to learn how to not tie ourselves emotionally to the myriad of things that happen in our lives, okay? Especially those experiences we feel are somehow against us, right? Now, we talked about that last week, and I think the week before that and so forth. You know, being careful about becoming emotionally attached to things you feel are against you. Now, notice I didn't say ignore or deny your emotional reactions. I said we must learn how to not allow ourselves to be tied to our negative, fearful emotions. For example, okay, now listen to these, and now that you begin to understand prayer and affirmation, listen to these and see how they hit you. Thoughts like, I am angry, I am jealous, I am worried, I am afraid, I am not worthy, and so many other such statements are not accurate descriptions of who you really are. But they are affirmations we all use that cause us to believe that this is who I am, okay? So if you say, I am angry, I'm worried, I'm fearful, that is, you're putting a description to yourself that's not true, okay? Even though your emotions have you tied to something that makes you feel that way. So remember, the first lesson in this series was to only pray for that which is for you, not that which you believe is against you, all right? Now, a statement like, I am angry or I am fearful is sending out negative energy units that act on cosmic energy in the same way as a prayer does. Now, remember the law. Thoughts held in mind produce more of the same type of thought energy units, and those thought energy units become the magnet that draws more of the same kind of energy to you. All right. So we do have control over this process, but the control takes a huge amount of remaining conscious of everything you're saying, thinking, and doing. All right. So our individual collective spiritual work is to not mentally dwell on things you believe are against you. Why? Because dwelling on experiences you believe are against you emotionally tie you to those experiences. Now, this unnecessary use of energy is the leading cause of the lack of lasting peace, love, faith, and joy. But let me acknowledge again that we're talking about spiritual ideas that require a tremendous amount of dedicated prayer work to even begin to comprehend, let alone implement, okay? But as I shared in the beginning of these lessons, they're geared towards experiential implementation. Now, it may be possible in Christianity, you know, this idea of experiential implementation means, again, we will have a tendency to know things, but not actually put those things into action. One of the questions I ask my students in the school is, what's the difference between plan and planning? Okay, and of course, plan means something that you have. It's a structure you put together. But planning never ends, even though you have a plan. Because you may plan to implement some of these, experientially implement some of these ideas, and then boom, you run into something and you have to adjust your plan because your mind wasn't set for that thing that you ran into. So it's a constant process of working with these ideas. That's why the concept, again, experiential implementation. You're constantly experimenting and implementing these ideas to see, you know, how they're going to come out. And, you know, again, one of the challenges I think we have in Christianity is that we're stuck in the belief that because Jesus died for our sins, you know, we don't need to do anything but just reap the rewards of that. But we know that what Jesus did doesn't relieve us of the work of doing the same within ourselves. What Jesus did was he set the prototype in the consciousness of humankind for us to become aware of the Christ potential that exists within ourselves. Okay, so he was the way shower. He said, okay, let me implement these ideas to the fullest, and then you can see what happens when you're ready, willing to go all the way with living the, you know, the spiritual life. So why is it so difficult for us to discover the innate divine potential within us? You know, it may be the fact that the outer world, and I think I know I must have said this in some other talk, but the outer world has greater influence and impact on us than the inner world. Okay, there's a video that I used to show years ago because it was in VHF and it never transferred over to digital, called The Ad and the Id. And I know I mentioned this to you before. It's a recording of a college-level sociology class. And in the film, the statement is made that advertising has a greater impact on the consciousness of humankind than religion or any other organization or institution in the world. It states that the reason for this is because we see over 1,500 advertisements a day. The trick is we see them, but we don't see them, meaning that much of advertising is subliminal, affecting us at a subconscious level. So in many aspects, advertising is an example of the many things that keep us mesmerized and attached to the outer world. So think about it. What engages your attention the most? You know, what do you feel most attracted to doing? Is it your prayer meditation time? Or is it the intriguing dramatics of what is occurring in the outer world? All right. Now, my guess is that for many of us, including myself, we're more intrigued by the outer world than we are by the inner world of prayer and meditation. Now, this is not a criticism. It's just a statement of our present reality and why staying on the path of prayer and faith is so challenging, all right? But when you read about the great mystics, they talk about the wonders of consciousness beyond consciousness that they enter into in meditation. Now, consciousness beyond consciousness being the realm of spirit beyond the realm of ego, all right, with the two divided by the great veil of human emotion. So these great masters, what they've been able to do in their meditation time is break through that veil of human emotion. Basically, when we're doing prayer meditation, we're still on the emotional side of the veil, okay? And so we find a lot of our prayer meditation time is muddied up by those things that we're concerned about, worried about, thinking about, all right? Am I right? I mean, I know myself, it's the same idea. Okay, you kind of, you know, try to stay focused on whatever it is, whether it's your breathing, or with me, it's a mantra, a video from YouTube that I listen to, and you try to stay focused on that, but, you know, as it happens, that little stuff starts to seep in. But these great masters have reached into the consciousness beyond consciousness. They're in the realm where they're through the veil, and so this emotional world is no longer affecting their meditation. They're in the realm that we only dream about but have no concept of what it's about or even how to get there. So the question is, why do we support this veil of emotion that seems to prevent us from entering to the realm of spirit? All right? Probably the simplest answer is because we do not know any different. All right? If we had a way, I don't know how to explain it, of knowing what it would be like to be in that consciousness beyond consciousness, you know, would we be spending more time in that? There was one yogi, I can't remember his name, I know it's not Paramahansa Yogananda, but Maharishi may be one of them. Ram Dass said he was talking to him, and he said all of a sudden he saw the yogi just trip out. And he says, what happened is he spends so much time in that consciousness beyond consciousness that even when he comes back to this side of the veil, so to speak, even under normal conditions, he has a tendency to slip right back into that other realm beyond the veil, okay? So, but we know nothing about that, you know? So our side of the veil is a dream we've fallen into deeply, you know, very much like the story of the eagle's egg that ended up in the chicken coop. And I know you've heard this before, but just follow with me with this for a moment. So a mother hen did what she normally does when an eagle's egg that somehow ended up in a chicken coop. She sat on it even though until it hatched, you know, even though the egg was much, much larger than she was used to. Okay. Now, the baby eagle, even when it first was born, was much larger than the other baby chicks. But he wasn't treated any differently. He pecked the ground for corn and, you know, thrown by the farmer just like the other chicks did. And even when fully grown, when the fox got into the hen house, the eagle cowered in the corner like the other chickens, even though his talons, you know, his claws were large enough and strong enough to grab and crush that fox. But he responded the same way all the other chickens did. Now, any of us walking by the chicken yard would wonder, why is the eagle acting like a chicken when he is so much more, so majestic, so powerful, so unlimited in what he can do? We would yell out, hey, what are you doing? You're an eagle. Why aren't you acting like it? But it's no different than an enlightened master who looks at us and says, hey, what are you doing? You're the Christ. Why aren't you acting like it? You get what I'm saying? All right? So you know the story. It wasn't until the eagle saw his reflection in the water that he realized that he was different, greater, more powerful than he realized. So again, I ask, why do we support this veil of emotion that keeps us separated from our true Christ self? Well, the greatest reason is like the eagle. We do not know any better. We haven't seen our true reflection in the mirror. And of course, this is what Paul was referring to when he said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in the mirror dimly. Meaning when we look in the mirror, we're more concerned about how cute we are than how spiritual we can be. Right? This is because when we look in the mirror of our consciousness, we see ourselves with our ego mind instead of our Christ mind. We haven't yet grasped the understanding that what we call my mind includes a tremendous amount of false beliefs that existed since the beginning of humankind. And only the negativity and false realities, you know, once they get hold of us, they keep growing and growing until we have become more and more addicted to them, all right? So this concept called my mind, more specifically my ego mind, was actually created by the human experience, and we attached ourselves to it like a mask and forgot that we were wearing a mask. We forgot that what we refer to as me is an aberration, a deviation from the spiritual path. It's a defect in our focus, okay? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to wake up and try to understand, who am I really? That's what this whole spiritual process is about. And when we refer back to the allegory of creation, and notice I use that specifically, the allegory of creation, we see that this is not how we were created. We read in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, all right? So we read in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, the allegorical Adam in his original creation was in spiritual illumination. The allegory explains that spirit breathed into him continually the necessary inspiration and knowledge to give him superior understanding. Now, what we must come to understand is that spirit is still breathing into us continually the necessary inspiration and knowledge to give us understanding. So, a question for each of us to ask ourselves is, who am I? Who am I created to be? Now, I know what, you see in the mirror, but who am I created to be? The answer is, you are a spiritual being created with spiritual illumination, and God is continually breathing into you the necessary inspiration and knowledge to give you spiritual understanding. Okay? So repeat after me. I am a spiritual being created with spiritual illumination, and God is continually breathing into me the necessary inspiration and knowledge to give me superior understanding. And you're absolutely correct. That statement you just affirmed, you are absolutely correct. So what happened? Why don't we remember this truth about ourselves? With the events in the world that are facing us, there is no greater time than now for us to practice being still, being open to remembering who we really are, and trying to understand what is mine to do in these challenging times, right? And the question on many folks' mind is, when will this all end? All the things that we're going through right now. But the bigger question is, when this ends, what will be the new dawn? What new dawn will this bring? Will it truly be a new dawn, or just a reenactment of the same thing that, same old thing we had been through? Now, April sent me a quote by Sonia Renee Taylor, who is an author, poet, and activist. And let me put on a slide for that. She says, "We will not go back to normal." Why? Because normal never was. Our pre-corona experience was not normal, other than we normalized greed and inequity and exhaustion, depletion and extraction and disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, racism, and lack. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature. All right, and that's really powerful, right? It's important that we understand that when we ask the question, when will this all end? What are we really asking? So when you say, when will this all end, what are you really asking? Are you asking when somebody else is going to change and be different? And that's normally, you think about it, when is this all going to end? A lot of times, consciously or unconsciously, we're thinking, when is everybody else going to change and be different? But the words to the song are, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with who? With me. So the real question we should all be asking ourselves about what is happening in the world today is, when will it end in me? All right? And the scripture from the song 46:10 is telling us to be still so that we can hear the still small voice within us saying, I am the Lord God, I am at work in this situation. I am the Lord God, and I'm continuously breathing into you the necessary inspiration and knowledge to give you superior understanding. So to help us fortify ourselves and be ready and able to be at ease with the life, with life itself, and to see the potential good in everything that comes into our lives, let's end by repeating together one more time. I am a spiritual being, created with spiritual illumination, and God is continuously breathing into me the necessary inspiration and knowledge to give me superior understanding. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have a meditation with Pamela.
So let's prepare now to become centered and still to experience a few moments in communion with Spirit. Please get comfortable where you can. Place your feet flat on the floor and maintain a straight spine to the best of your ability. You may close your eyes if you wish. Now take in a nice, deep, deep cleansing breath. And exhale. Again, breathe in and out. Once again, deeply in and slowly out. In the stillness of this moment, turn within and let your body continue to relax as you find the quiet stillness that is within you. Peace, be still, and know that God is working in your life right now. Centered in this moment, release all that no longer serves your highest good and allow love and comfort to soothe you. Allow God's loving presence to fill every area of your life and powerfully guide you in the ways of happiness, prosperity, strength, and freedom. Breathe in and feel your faith increase, knowing there is nothing to do and nothing to get to. You are worthy and deserving of bountiful goodness right here and right now. Feel the freedom that comes as you open your life to the wonders of God within you and all around. All circumstances unfold perfectly for your highest good, and you are blessed with peace of mind. Your mind is free of doubt and free of fear. Breathe now and turn it all over to God. There is nothing too big or too small for God. You are loved and you are never alone. Within this moment, you are free. You are prospered and you are loved. So now let's enter into that secret place of the Most High, this place of peace, love, joy, and faith, and use this precious time to pray and receive answers to your prayers. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit, for answered prayers. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. As you become aware of your surroundings, take another deep breath. And as you continue your day, know that you are filled with God's love and grace, and all is truly well. We hope you enjoyed these few moments in your day. Be peaceful, and God bless.
Thank you, Hannah. That was wonderful. All right. Well, as we normally do right after meditation, we're going to take up our offering blessing. And you can actually envision that in your mind if it, you know, it's kind of be a neat feeling to imagine yourself being in church and that basket is coming past you and you're hearing the choir sing, you know, kind of taking it back to the days when we were doing that. But we want to, you know, we are thanking you for your wonderful gifts and the continuation of those gifts as we continue to bring these services to you through these virtual means. And so with that, let me bring up the offering blessing. And let's say that together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. So we have light notes. You want to do some of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'll do these first. Okay, this is to let you know that our family, our Unity Center of Light family, did a great job this year in supporting the Bowie Food Pantry with the School Backpacks Project. In their latest newsletter, they said, "Thanks to your generosity, 96 children in grades K, pre-K to 12 began the school year with fully stocked backpacks. Many thanks to all of you who helped these students get off to a good start this school year. Smith and Associates, Unity Center of Light, countless individuals, awesome job, church family." This is the time of the year when we would move on to Thanksgiving baskets. However, because of COVID-19 concerns, here is the Bowie Food Pantry's plan for this year, again from the latest newsletter. And they say, "The pantry has been blessed to have the support of so many of our annual Thanksgiving Food Basket Program, Christmas Food Basket Program, Adopt a Child Program, and our Toy and Gift Room. Due to the pandemic, our programs will be different this year. We will not be accepting or distributing food baskets or gifts and toys this year. Instead, we plan to give our families gift cards to purchase their Thanksgiving and Christmas food baskets. In addition, we will give our moms and dads one gift card per child to purchase holiday gifts. If you would like to contribute to this effort, we are accepting monetary donations and gift cards." Now, October the 29th marks the anniversary of the Unity Center of Light. In celebration of our 29 years, it would be great if everyone who is able would donate $29 to Unity Center of Light and designate it for the Bowie Food Pantry Thanksgiving Program. We will let the food pantry know of our service project for them so they can count on our donations for their Thanksgiving program. Thank you in advance for your participation in this project.
Okay. So our current Practicing the Principles in Uncertain Times is also the title of a special event being offered on Friday, October the 9th. During this offering from Unity World Headquarters, you'll have the opportunity to hear from some of the iconic voices of the New Thought Movement, such as Reverend Ellen Davenport from Unity World Headquarters, Reverend Michael Gott, musician and minister of Unity of Houston, Reverend Wendy Craig Purcell from Unity of San Diego, and Sheila
McKeithen
from the Universal Foundation of Better Living. So they will be discussing topics such as, how do I find peace in the midst of an ever-changing world? And how do I discern what is mine to do in times of unrest? How can I see things differently when my mind seems filled with, you know, anxiousness? And this event is an excellent complement to the subjects we have been exploring in the last few weeks. This is actually week four that we've been going through this. And there's a link in your weekly newsletter from April and in the weekly update from Patty as to how to get into that that presentation that's going to be done on October the 9th. So please put that on your calendar. And also, starting Wednesday, October the 14th, at 7 o'clock, we'll begin a new discussion group. Our core text will be the Unity booklet, Weathering the Storm, Coping with Pain, Loss, and Overwhelming Change. And we will also be bringing the other Unity resources to support us. Now, this informal and interactive discussion group is facilitated by April, our own April May, a licensed Unity teacher. And there's a link in the e-newsletter to download the booklet. Let me say it again. There's a link in the e-newsletter to download the booklet. And we will publish the Zoom link soon. And this is a shared, on a love offering basis, right? So those are our events that are coming up. And Drew, just think about it, October, 29 years we've been doing this, mm-hmm. huh? We were young when we started this.
Yes.
We're still young, though, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, so let us now bless the path that we walk.
Yes, so we're going to bless the path that we walk this week, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together, I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. And now let's end with the prayer protection.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we've enjoyed being with you today. And we hope you enjoyed it as well. Again, just to let you know that there's a Zoom session that follows this every Sunday. So if you would like to be in Zoom and have fellowship with other Unity folks, I think you would really enjoy it if you have not participated in that. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you.
There.
Yeah. And have a wonderful week.
Yes.
Right?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.